I'm glad you made it today.
How are you doing?
I don't know. As well as can be expected, I guess.
Your kid was sick this week. How's she doing?
Last week she was...
You and all these noises.
Mail. Look, at least it's not you got mail anymore. I changed it from that.
You make a valid point.
Hopefully none of the noises happened. She's fine. She's going to school.
Great.
Tomorrow. She's literally had a whole week off of school. She went to school on Monday for like 20 minutes.
She doesn't follow you around the house though all day, does she?
No.
That's like, I wouldn't mind my kids being home, but they follow me around everywhere.
No, she doesn't follow me around. Well, if I'm in the living room, then like she'll want to hang out in the living room with me, but like not all day. Yeah. Like, you know, like for like an hour. If I'm watching something. Well, only if I'm watching something she would want to watch. Like, she'd be like, can you put on something childish?
Childish.
I'm like, no, it's grown-up time. I'm watching what I want to watch. So that pretty much prevents her from doing that.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's people that want to hang out with their children, but I'm not one of them.
No, I don't want to hang out with her all day. Because she doesn't, like, what she doesn't do anything. Like, it's she asks me questions like, Mommy, what's 13 times 60? And I'm like, what's 13 times 6? Like, I make her, like, break down the problem in her hand. She's like, I don't know. I'm like, well, then I can't help you. You're in first grade. You're not doing that kind of math.
13 times 6 is 78.
But she's not doing that kind of math. So she's just randomly asking me these questions. And I'm like, why? You're just asking me questions just to ask me questions.
Stop asking stupid-ass questions, child.
Go to your room. So I'm just like, well, you know, when you need to know that, then come to me. Because by that time, you'll know how to figure it out.
Okay. So she's doing better. She's in school.
Yeah.
Are you ready for NaNoWriMo?
I am not. Because I have not cleaned up my workstation. My writing space is a mess. So I have to get that organized. Unless I just decide to write at Starbucks. But I'm not going to do that.
We got Starbucks in Roseman now.
We have it there too.
But, holler at us if you want to, you know, get paid promotion.
It's Starbucks.
Starbucks don't need no type of advertising whatsoever. It is ingrained in humans or Americans to just
go to Starbucks.
Yeah.
Even just for like a regular coffee.
Listen here. Every day my child is like, can we go to Starbucks? I'm like, no.
Absolutely not.
We cannot go to Starbucks.
Like, seriously.
Yeah. I just want to get up, blah, 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 blah. I'm just like, I just want to keep money in my pockets, so I'm not going to Starbucks.
How about no?
How about no? All right, cool. So you got to figure out a place to write.
I mean, I have a place. I just have to get it straightened up and shit, which is going to take some more time than I really want. So,
okay.
What's going on in your life?
Soccer momming so hard. We just had soccer pitchers today. We had a game yesterday. The season's almost over. I can't wait to get my Saturdays back. But I really...
Wait, how many games is the season? 8?
I think it's more than that. I'm not sure. I need to count. But I love my little players. Like, one of my players, anytime he sees me, he, like, runs up to me. He's like, Coach Sunny! Ah! Like, he's just the most, like, affectionate, loving child. And, like, we were on the soccer field yesterday, and he was just tired, and just, like, all of a sudden, there's this kid holding my hand. I looked down, and I was like, hey, dude. He was like, I love you. And I was like, I love you, too. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's adorable.
It was really sweet, and honestly, it really melts my cold, dead heart, and I just, like, you just really give me life right now.
My cold, dead heart.
I just feel like, you know, living life, the longer you live, the more bullshit you see, the more, you know...
Jaded.
World
weary.
Yes. You just become so untrustworthy. How about this?
Untrusting.
You become so untrusting. What's the dude's name that killed his girlfriend? He strangled her in Wyoming. And then
Brian Laundrie.
They found him in the swamps.
I knew he killed himself. I knew it. I was like, that motherfucker killed himself. That's why they can't find him.
Mm-hmm.
Because any other person... They fucking found Scott Peterson. You know what I'm saying? Like, and his dumbass, he was trying to run, you know?
Yeah.
If he was on the run, he would have been caught. He was dead, and I knew it. I was like, he killed himself. But they were still looking, and they found his remains, so.
I kind of want to know more. Like, they found, like, a book next to him or a note, like a journal or something. So, well, that's
over. Oh, yeah, we all want to know, like, what the tea is.
We all, I mean, is it, I feel bad that I'm just like, ooh, what really, what?
You're not the only one. Like, the whole country is like, ooh, what is going on? What happened? Because now they're like, his parents could potentially face legal ramifications for not cooperating with the police, so. That's what happens when you try to use your privilege to not help the police.
Not my son.
Mm-mm. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And this is Book of Lies. The podcast.
It's Bulp, bitches.
Yes, it is. And welcome back and or welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. You can visit our website at bookoflies.podcast.com. You can connect with us on social if you want to do that. I lurk there quite frequently.
I'm lurking around.
I lurk around on the internet. So you can follow us on Twitter at Book of Lies Pod, on Instagram and or Facebook at Book of Lies Pod. You can meet us on Patreon. Ah, we need to release that episode this week. It's going to happen, I promise. And patreon.com/Book of Lies Podcast. Brandy, did you catch episode 2 of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Reunion?
Yeah. Yeah, I watched it.
I think it's just clever editing that they're doing, because I think they did all this stuff with Erica up front. Or do you think Andy, like,
asked? There's still more.
There's 2 more episodes.
Yeah, there's still more.
So, I think on the 3rd and 4th episodes, he's really going to ask, like, do you think he did it? And, you know, she has a hard time answering the questions. Or did you hear when she was like, I gave all of my paychecks to Tom?
No, I managed to miss that.
Because he was like, why didn't you go anywhere? What was your problem? I know how much you make here. You know, womp. And she says, I gave everything I made to Tom Girardi.
Oh, no, I didn't hear that.
Bitch was signing over her paychecks to this fool.
You know what? I think I came in like 15 minutes late or something. So maybe was it in the beginning?
You watched it live?
Yeah.
Okay. I watched it on the Bravo app. It was in there somewhere, but she said that she, and everybody was like, what?
Yeah,
like,
I think it might have been in the beginning because I didn't see that
part. Are you serious? Why would you do such a dumb thing? And she was just saying, like, the power dynamic between their age difference.
And of course he was probably like, oh, honey, give me your money. I'll make sure that you make money on the money or whatever.
I'll put it in the bank.
I can see him saying that.
But he loves taking people's checks. We already know this. We already know. He got you too, Erica. That's what he did to you. He was like, oh, well, give me back my Bravo check. He said, just calm down. Use the black card. It's fine.
Is that what he said?
I'm just saying. I'm just speculating. This is all speculation.
Either way, it's pretty fucked up. The whole situation. Like, all of it. Mm-hmm. Like, all of it. The whole thing is just fucked up.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, there's still things I can't, because obviously this is still a pending case or whatever. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, I can't talk about that. I'm like, all right, that's fine.
Yeah.
When you gonna talk about it, honey, when this is over?
After they freaking, after either the case is settled or Tom is gone or something, like, you know, it's messed up, but.
Yeah.
Tis what it is.
Tis what it is. All right. Anyway, let's get into the shenanigans. Brandy, what are we talking about today?
So, a few weeks ago, I watched this documentary on HBO Max called God, Greed, and the Cult of Gwen Shamblin.
Gwen Shamblin.
Gwen Shamblin.
Okay.
I had never heard of her, and so, of course, I was, like, watching it, and I was like, holy shit. So, we are talking today about Gwen Shamblin and the... what are they called? The Remnant Fellowship Church. Gwen Shamblin was born to parents who were members of the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ is a church in which women are not allowed to speak in church, let alone hold positions of power. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's the minister's wife. You know how usually the minister's wife is also a position of power among the women or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, the church organizations and, like, fundraising and all that stuff. Well, they're members of the Church of Christ. And in this church, women can't even talk in church. She was like one of five or six kids. They said, I think they said five, maybe six, maybe four. I don't know. But there was more than her in the house. And so when there was, you know, having meals, her mother would tell them to clean their plates. So she, you know, Gwen, apparently, because there were so many mouths, would always, you know, try to get her fill. And she developed a very healthy appetite. And when she went to college, she gained the freshman 15.
Like we all do.
Of course.
Sorry about that.
So she decided that she wanted to learn how to be an eater that didn't gain weight. She earned her undergraduate degree in dietetics from the University of Tennessee. And she got her master's degree in food and nutrition from Memphis State University. Then she became a registered dietitian and a consultant and a faculty member at Memphis State University. And she worked there for 5 years. And then she became, she worked for the Tennessee Department of Health for 5 years. She married a man by the name of David Shamblin in 1978, and they had two kids, a boy and a girl, Michael and Elizabeth.
Aww.
Right. So in the late 90s, she writes a book called The Way Down, W-E-I-G-H. And it's, of course, a diet book, and it's telling people how to lose weight, how to eat, but not gain weight.
Listen here. Diet books sell. I probably own like five.
Yeah, they do. But this was a religious based diet book.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So it's really going to sell.
There's more on the market than just that. I mean, there were other, you know, religious based market books like What Would Jesus Eat? And another one that they had named. And I was just like, fucking ridiculous.
The Jesus diet. Isn't that kind of like the, not the caveman diet? It's something when you
eat. Paleo?
Paleo, yeah.
I don't know, because I didn't read that book.
Nor did I.
But she wrote a book called The Way Down, and it was a book that told people that they could lose weight, and they could eat whatever they wanted, but the way to do it was, you know, through God, basically.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, she had told in an interview, she had said, I teach people how to stop bowing down to the refrigerator and how to bow down to him. Mm-hmm. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And then she said a whole bunch of other shit. And then she was like, so honor God with your body. So she's, you know, one of those people. She started doing seminars or workshops. It was called the Way Down Workshop. And there, that's where she taught, you know, the program that's in her book. And she said that there were no bad foods and you could eat whatever you wanted, but you had to do it when you were hungry, when you were physically hungry. So your stomach had to be growling or you had to be on the verge of passing out.
You gotta be dying.
Yeah, you had to starve. And then you can eat whatever you want. You can eat all that you want, you know, until you're satisfied.
That doesn't sound right to me whatsoever.
But people have been doing that anyway. It's basically anorexia is what that fucking is. It's anorexia. But they starve themselves and they binge. But this one doesn't advocate purging. So you starve yourself and then you binge. And then you do that. That's what you do. So you only eat when you're on the verge of passing out, basically. Your stomach has to be growling or you have to be having hunger pains, that kind of thing. And if you think about food, but you're not actually hungry, you have to pray.
Jeez Louise.
Give that desire, or she calls it an addiction, give that addiction over to God, and you pray. Oh, right? So, it's basically fucking a starvation diet. You're starving yourself. You're not counting calories, though, so that's the difference. Like, anorexics only eat, like, 300 calories a day. So, you're not, like, if you're not hungry, if your stomach doesn't growl, or if you don't feel like you're gonna pass out that day, you don't eat that day. That's how her thing works. So if you're not hungry that day, physically hungry, if your body is not giving you those hunger cues, you don't eat that day. Maybe you eat tomorrow. The Way Down program, the Way Down workshop turns into a church called the Remnant Fellowship Church. I don't remember when she established it. I don't even know if they said it when she established it. But basically, it's a church that institutes weight loss into religion. And it's the religion is founded on weight loss. The way to salvation is by being thin.
Oh, boy. By?
Yes. By, you know, not being overweight and by controlling what you eat and how you look. That is the way to salvation. It is formed in Brentwood, Tennessee, which apparently is an elite area in Tennessee. People there have money. There's not a whole lot of diversity. There's, you know, it's kind of remote. And that's where they built this massive church in the middle of a field. But it's also a town where there's a church on every corner, so it wasn't out of place. The size of it, I think, would have made it out of place, because I don't think every church was that fucking big. That church was enormous. Grew into a church, and it got to the point where people were moving to that town just to join that church.
For real?
Yes, because she was on TV. She was on Larry King. She, you know, morning news shows were doing segments with her, and she was, you know, talking about how she's teaching people to, you know, go back to God and, you know, get away from the refrigerator. And, you know, the way to lose weight is through the Lord and all that. Hooey. So
Pukaki.
People, no, not that.
Not Pukaki?
The phrase that you're trying to say is Bukaki, and definitely not that.
Okay.
gross. Anyway, so, yeah, they grew into a church, and they were saying, one of the guys on the documentary was saying how they believe the membership to be about 2,000 people right now. So it's not like, you know, that L. Ron Hubbard founded organization, the one we call Scientology. It's not like them, where they have people all over the world. This one is literally only based in the United States, and it's mainly based in Tennessee, in Brentwood, Tennessee, she was reaching people, you know, in other states, and people were moving there. There was people in Atlanta, people in Texas, and other places.
That moved to Brentwood, Tennessee.
Well, some of them still remained in their states, but they would come, to the services every so often, or they would call, because they were doing a program where that people would call in. So,
was this the only way that they could join this diet, the way down?
No, you could do the diet without joining the church, but they wanted to join the church.
Okay.
They wanted to be around her. Apparently she was like super, you know, charismatic, and she just exuded this vibrance that people wanted to be around. So people would just move and join the church. And they said how when people would move there, it was people, people would live in like multifamily housing, or like people, multiple families would live in a house or something else. People weren't buying property around there. So they were like moving there, but they were moving in with other people.
Got it.
As her membership or her following or whatever starts to grow, she starts making more money because she's writing books, and then she's holding these workshop. And they have to pay to go to this workshop. So she's adding more and more curriculum, kind of like, you know, the Book of Scientology, where they're adding more and more, what do you call it, levels. She was adding more and more curriculum, and people would have to pay to go to these classes. And to be a member of the church, you had to be going to her classes. So they had to pay for that. And then, like, they would hold events like festivals. They had to go, you know, the members had to pay to go to the festivals, and then like they would tell people to bring gifts first to the festivals, and then they started just saying, just bring cash. We're not accepting gifts this year. So, yeah.
No gifts, just bring your money, please.
They were just funding the church, which was, you know, basically her lifestyle, because she was, as the church began to grow, she began to, you know, get more
popular
possessions.
There it is. It's your tablet.
Yeah, she began to get, you know, better cars, bigger house. She moved into basically a compound. It was a mansion on like 3 acres or 6 acres or some shit. I don't even remember what the acreage was. I was just like, disgusting.
it was like a, you know, in Tennessee. So it wasn't like, oh, you know, a Beverly Hills house that has like 12 bedrooms and 10 bathrooms or whatever, but, or 13 bathrooms, but it was like 6 bedrooms and 7 bathrooms or some shit.
Yeah.
That, you know, is out of place in a place like Tennessee. That's not like fucking Graceland or some shit. Yeah. And, she was just, you know, amassing more and more things. And like, she went from dressing like a, you know, like a 90s housewife or maybe even like a school teacher or a person, a businesswoman, to wearing like cocktail dresses. And her hair, the more money she got, the bigger her fucking hair got. It was ridiculous. She put the money
in her hair.
Like her hair, you know, her hair was a 90s hairstyle when she first started. And then it just turned into like.
Oh, is this white lady that's been on like the posts with the big hair?
What posts?
Hang on. Continue.
Okay. So, yeah, the way to salvation, she would tell, like, she, you know, she became the minister of the church. She was not an ordained minister.
Is this her?
That's her. Yes. That's her. She was not ordained. Her husband, actually, David, was an ordained minister, but she was not. She was a dietitian. So she all of a sudden became the minister of the church. She went from being in, you know, involved in a church where women weren't allowed to speak to running a church.
Mm-mm. That don't sound right at all.
And she would, you know, she preached that the way to salvation was her church, was this church, the fellowship, the remnant fellowship. That was the way to salvation. People who were going to other churches, those were dark churches, dark, what did she call them? Yeah, she said dark churches and things like they, you know, they weren't doing things the right way. Our church is the one true church. It's God's true church. I was told this. God told me this. This is the one true church. So all the members would, you know, they would come and they would give a testimony. I've lost 100 pounds. I've lost 160 pounds. I've lost, you know, 90 pounds, whatever the case was. They would come, they would get up on stage and they would announce how much weight they had lost. And, you know, she keeps writing books and writing things. She tells them, she wrote a book. What was this book called? The Way, it was called The Way Down Something. It was like basically, probably that book with like a couple of extra words thrown in. Not really, you know, not so, really something new.
The fundamentals behind her shit is like starve, then eat until you're happy. Don't eat anything else until you're starving.
Right. Basically, yes. Okay. And she started to, you know, turn it into, this is also the way to get off smoking and stop drinking. And, oh, by the way, we've had people who gave up porn, that kind of shit.
Nobody's given up porn.
This is what she's, you know, she's like, you know, people have, they have turned their lives around. They have given up this and that. And it's just like, no, they didn't. And she said pornography. That's what she said. Not
pornography.
Not pornography. Pornography. It's like, oh, God, she's annoying. Yeah, so she wrote a new book, and she tells her members, instead of buying extra food this week, buy this book and keep it by your bedside.
Oh, don't eat my book.
Yeah, basically, buy my book, don't buy food. That's what she said. That's what she fucking said.
Wow.
So, yeah, she looks, you saw the picture, that was a collage, but like, she looks, like if you just look at her, you know, in the videos, she looks like a crazy Barbie.
I saw some posts on social earlier this month,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, who is this bitch with this hair? And I didn't even look into it because I really didn't care. I was just like, whatever. If I need to know, I'll know. And now I know.
Okay. That was her. That was the Lord sending her to you.
Oh, great.
So, yes, as with many cults, the members of the church weren't allowed to have friends outside of the church. They weren't allowed to associate with people who had left the church. People got kicked out of the church for not losing enough weight. People who were in the church for a while who had regained weight got kicked out of the church.
It's fucked up.
Yes. So that's how she ran things, because if you didn't look good, you weren't pure. You weren't holy enough. You're gone.
God doesn't like you.
You're fat.
Because you're fat.
Or whatever.
I doubt that. God loves me.
Right. And she would go on TV and, you know, say fucking stupid shit like, well, you know, people in concentration camps, they didn't eat a lot. And that's so they lost a lot of weight. So, yes, she was comparing her fucking diet tactics to that of the fucking Holocaust. Because wow. She's crazy.
her husband, David, he was an ordained minister, and he helped her start the church, but he backed away from it really quickly because he saw that it was a way for her to just basically use the church as a cash cow. And so she did. But her kids were also heavily involved in the church. So David, her husband, also wasn't a thin man. He could stand to lose probably about 50 pounds.
Okay.
And as such, he wasn't in the church. He wasn't on stage. He didn't go to church with her at all. He wasn't on stage. Like her kids were, they would come on stage. They would sing. Her daughter was the youth pastor or the youth leader. I won't say pastor. She was the youth leader because who knows what her credentials actually are. But she was the youth group leader. Her son was like the leader of the, I won't say the choir, but he would like write songs and he would go on stage and sing them.
He was the composer and singer.
He was, yeah. They held, you know, positions of quote unquote power within the church. Mm-hmm. But her husband stopped being involved altogether. There was like 8 founding members. Her husband was one of them, but then he was like, later. This is, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna, like, you do this, honey, this is your thing. I'm not. This ain't for me. Mm-hmm. They were married for 40 years. And in 2018, she divorced him. Oh. And married another man within months.
Oh, she was busy.
A man by the name of Joe Lara, who is an out-of-work actor and an aspiring country singer.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes.
Where did she find this man?
I don't know. Oh, okay. So he was an out-of-work actor. He also, had some property like in Palmdale or something. He was a member of all these networking groups in LA, and he was also a grifter. He would use.
Oh, great.
Yeah. He used wealthy women for what they could give him. And then when they figured out what he was up to, they would kick him to the curb.
Shit. And she married this fool.
She married him. But Joe also, he has a child. He was involved with a woman I didn't write down her name. The mother of his child, they met when she was like 16 and she said he was like 20 something. He was in his 20s. They met, they dated, and he had issues. They broke up. Some years later, they meet up again. He convinces her, you know, that he's changed or whatever. They get involved. They have a baby. The baby, she's like, okay, we have a child. We need to, you know, this something needs to happen. She's, you know, got a steady fucking job doing her thing. And she's like, listen, I have family in Chicago because they met actually in those acting classes because he was taking acting classes in LA. And when they have the kids, she's like, OK, I have family in Chicago. We're going to do this. You want to be a country singer now. So we're going to work on your country music career until our child is in kindergarten. When she is kindergarten age, if your music career has not taken off, we are moving to Chicago so we can raise our child. Mm-hmm. And I have family that we can lean on. The time comes around, and instead of doing what he promised, he fucking goes to the police and tells the police that the mom was sexually abusing the daughter. Yeah, he's a piece of shit. The police, you know, there was an investigation. The doctors are asking the child questions as they do. They come to find out that all of this shit is lies. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, we know what kind of person you are. You're a dick bag. You're a shit bag. You're a loser. You're scum. Somebody needs to beat your ass. Anyway, so he's involved in all these networking groups in LA. Somehow he gets like a handyman job doing something for this church. And that's how they meet. Mm-hmm. He's a good looking dude for what he is. He looks like a fucking total douche, if you ask me. He's like a tall dude, 6'4". He was in a movie of the week. He was like Tarzan in LA or Tarzan in the City or whatever the fuck that movie was back in the 90s. So he's attractive physically, and somebody like Gwen Shamblin, who's married to a middle-aged man who might be a little overweight, is probably looking at him like, holy shit, this is all I've ever wanted in my life.
Hot, hot, hot.
Right? He's exactly what I'm preaching about. He's, you know, he's thin. Well, he's not thin, but he's, you know, he's built. He's got muscles. He's, you know, attractive physically. Other women would find him attractive. Mm-hmm. So I'm divorcing my husband and I'm going to marry this guy. And girl, that's what she fucking did.
The grass ain't always greener, baby.
So immediately she institutes him, instills him into the church, and he becomes her right-hand man, where her husband wasn't before because, you know, he didn't want to and because he wasn't, you know, the fucking attractive man that, you know, she's preaching about in her sermons. Now she has this guy on her fucking side. He's in everything. He's standing up there with her in the pulpit. The pulpit. They start a show called Life with Joe and Gwen, where it's basically them running around fucking just being obnoxiously rich, because they are. Okay. Because he was broke before, and now he has all this money.
I bet.
And so, also, the church has a recording studio, so now he can record his country music songs.
Like a rhinestone cowboy.
He can't sing. He's awful. His music sounds like garbage. And it's just really obnoxious. And, oh, he had this long, flowing hair. And then, of course, now he's all clean cut and stuff when he becomes a member, when he marries her.
He had to get rid of that hippie hair.
It's just, I just...
You beat neck, cut your hair!
So gross.
Get a haircut, hippie!
And you're like, So she's using him because he's this hot little man. Or this big man, whatever. And he's using her because she's got all this money.
Yeah.
And so he can do whatever he want now.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's really obnoxious. All of a sudden, he puts on this southern accent. He's from fucking San Diego.
Oh,
and all of a sudden, he's talking in this, you know, the same accent that she has. Because she has a deep Tennessee accent.
I know you guys. Thank you for being here. And he's like, that's right, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Gwen. Yes. We love you.
Yeah.
Fake AF.
It's really nasty. And so now they're... You know, they're all over the place. They're
Sunny and Chariot.
Pretty much, yeah. They have, you know, they start, because they have a recording studio. They put on their own shows. Like, I don't know if they were, you know, YouTube shows or what, but they managed to have, like, broadcasts. I think they had, like, some local spots on TV, like, you know, Jim and Tammy Faye, you know how they were on TV or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Check out our Jim Baker and Tammy Faye. Pass the loot, Jim Baker. Check that out.
Yeah.
It's a great episode.
Pretty sure that's what that was. They would buy local spots on their local TV stations and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just fucking gross. I was just like, why are they even, like, who wants to watch this stuff?
Nobody.
Like, who wants to watch them cavorting around on their fucking compound with all this money? Meanwhile, the church members are giving them all this money.
Yeah.
Because that's how they're getting all their money. She's basically demanding that they pay for everything. Yes. So, as a good cult does, they decided we're going to become self-sufficient. So they start instituting businesses. They get, they develop a financial planning business or branch of the church. There's a real estate branch of the church. There's a branch that is auto services, so you can, you know, get your car fixed. You can probably even buy a car.
Jesus.
There
financing.
Is, they have another company called Exodus Industries, where that's all the services. So you've got your plumbers, your electricians, your HVAC, doctors, dentists, fucking attorneys, all under that wing, this Exodus Industries wing. They have people for everything. And so our little community is now, you don't ever have to go to, you know, 5 miles away to the next town to get your car serviced. Or you don't have to go, you know, to this dentist over here. You can get all of that done within your little church
network.
But they also have a really nasty, dirty side. They have a guy who basically is the David Miscavige. And we haven't done a Scientology episode yet. I promise it's coming out. But basically, he's the David Miscavige of fucking Remnant Fellowship. His name is Anger. That's his last name. And it's apparently suitable. Ted Anger. He's the guy that, he's like Gwen's right-hand man. He's the guy that you go to when you're having problems with your husband, or your husband's having problems with his wife. And he's like the one that you go and say, you know, I need help with my wife, and then he advises you on what to do. But basically, he's like, go home and you can cheat on your wife, but the wife can't divorce her husband. So meanwhile, yeah, what's her name? Gwen divorced her husband of 40 years.
It's a long fucking time.
to go out and marry this younger man, because he is younger. But she's telling all the women in the church, you cannot get divorced.
Like, bitch, you're a hypocrite.
Women are, you know, they're being abused. They're being cheated on. But she's like, no, you can't get divorced. Mm-hmm. Like, she's the fucking Pope.
I would have left the church a long time ago.
Oh, there's more. When people want to leave the church or leave their spouse, women would tell them, the women, because it was usually a woman, we're going to put all our money into backing him for custody of your kids. So you go ahead and try that. But
don't threaten me.
He's going to have all our legal resources behind him. So good luck.
Thank you.
With the daughter, with Joe's daughter, that's what they did. Basically, they were trying to fight for full custody of this child, right? They had 50-50 custody. And they were trying to steal her kid, basically. Making, you know, accusations and all kinds of shit. And the woman, she got so tired of, because, you know, they had all this money to put behind attorneys, as these cults do, that she fired all her attorneys and she was like, I'm just going to represent myself. So she started studying law and was battling other attorneys in court. And there's a phone call between her and one of their attorneys. And he was like, you know, you did a really good job. Like, there's attorneys out there that you did a better job than they did.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like all this bullshit. They have all this money. And of course, they're using their money to get what they want from people who have nothing really to do with. How does anybody else's marriage impact your church?
It does not. It's just.
Well, it does because we're losing a member.
Mind your business, and first of all.
Money that's lost. It's so stupid.
Mind your fucking business.
Yeah, and it got to the point where even, like, there was a woman who wanted to leave her husband, and she had talked to Gwen about it, and Gwen had told her, we're going to use all our resources so your husband can get custody of these kids. So she went as far as having an affair with her son, with Michael, Gwen's son, because Michael was a cheater. He was cheating on his wife with all kinds of other women because he wasn't happy. Because
he's allowed to do that.
Well, he wasn't happy with his church. He wasn't happy with his mom. He didn't really want to be involved in the church. But, of course, his mother probably browbeat him with, like, his fucking money or whatever. So he stayed in the church and stayed married to a woman that he didn't want to be married to. So he was cheating. She went as far as to have an affair with him and use that as leverage to get out of the marriage that she was married to her husband. And she was like, you tell your mom to fuck off about my kids. So basically, that's how she got out of her marriage.
Sneaky bitch, hell yeah. It's like, hey, I don't condone cheating. Cheating is not right, y'all. But if I gotta take a dick to get rid of some dick,
oh my God.
I'm taking the dick.
Oh my God.
In a southern accent. Thank you very much.
Oh, wow.
She took a dick to get rid of a dick. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But they also, they had some similarities. And like, it was really funny because I was like, damn it, they're just like Scientology in these aspects. They also were the type to put little kids in charge of other little kids. So in Scientology, if the child is older, then they can be in charge of the younger kid.
Right.
They did the same thing with the kids in this church.
Mm-hmm.
They would have, you know, 12-year-olds watching 9-year-olds, 9-year-olds watching 5-year-olds, that sort of thing. Well, they had this thing about kids being obedient. And she was like, your children, you know, your children are a reflection of you and children need to be obedient. And if your child's not being obedient, you have to do what you have to do to get them to be obedient. So basically they condoned these people beating the shit out of their kids. They were recommending that you know, the hot glue sticks, the long ones that are like
thick and
they're
long.
Like 6 inches long. You whip your kids with these hot glue sticks on their bare legs.
Oh my God.
So these people
hit your kids with glue sticks.
Yeah, they were because they don't leave bruises apparently, but I think they did.
They leave welts. Knock it off. Anything that you hit somebody with is going to leave a mark.
Yeah, so you know they were using all kinds. They were doing what parents do. They were getting wooden spoons, belts, cords. But you know they like when a parent would come to them and be like, "I don't know what to do." She's like, "Get a glue stick." And yeah, that's what they were recommending.
Beat your kids' ass.
There was a situation in 2003 where a child died because of this, because they were telling people to beat their kids. So these parents were of the African-American persuasion from Atlanta, Georgia, that had, I think they had 4 kids.
Thing is this?
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't know how to make it stand.
Like, they change, change stuff around.
Just deal with it. You guys are going to be hearing these pings. I'm not editing it out. It's too much.
Anywho. So, yes, these parents from Atlanta, they had a child that had some behavioral issues. Mm-hmm. One of the ladies said that he would sleep with knives under his bed and he threatened to kill the baby. And
how old is this child?
8.
Okay.
And so he was, you know, having like, I don't know what was going on in the house to make him want to sleep with knives anyway. That's the question that they should have been asking and not, how do we fix this? So they would just beat his ass, like beat him. The mom called, and I don't know if it was this child because he was 8 when he died, but there was a call where she referred to a 7-year-old. So you could logically assume that that might have been him because this was prior to his death.
Right.
But basically she's on the phone call saying, you know, we have been having so many problems with our 7-year-old, and, you know, we did what
Mr. Anger?
Ted. Yeah, we did what Ted told us to do. You know, we whipped him and we put him in his room, took everything out of his room, put him in his room with just his Bible from Friday to Monday. And he's changed, right? This was the phone call that was recorded, because apparently they were recording every fucking phone call that they would get. And they were recording everything. So there's a bunch of tapes all over this fucking place. In 2003, I don't know if they were at church, but they were having a church service, and he was misbehaving, quote unquote. And so they put him in a box, in a wooden, not a, yeah, a wooden box. They said it was a wicker box, but the lining was wood.
Mm-hmm. Suffocating.
Slammed the damn, the door onto his head because he kept popping his head up. And then they basically sealed it. Yeah. With bungee cords. They come back, he's not breathing.
They killed this fucking baby.
8 years old.
It's horrible.
They were convicted of a murder in 2007. And, of course, people were like, the church, you know, the church, because they condoned this shit. Well, the church, of course, backed their lawyers, and they put up websites. Oh, they're innocent. But this is what happens when you're a church and you're so heavily involved in your church that you freaking allow your church to tell you basically to abuse your child to death.
That's horrible.
So, at the time, of course, there was a lot of people, you know, were suspicious about the church. You know, they were deposed about being a cult.
Yeah.
They were deposed about this, the case. And she was like, you know, they were asking her, do you think you're a prophet? And she, you know, was like kind of skirting the question. Do your parishioners or do your followers think you're a prophet? And you know, they were doing what they could to try to not be called a cult. But they're a fucking cult. You're based on, your foundation is weight loss. You're a fucking cult. You're trying to tell people that God is the reason for your weight loss. You're a cult. Let's be serious. You're not a cult that believes in aliens, but you're a God cult nonetheless. Okay, so Ted Anger was, again, an asshole. They said that he liked to punish people, because they had a thing where if you, you know, did something that wasn't in the confines of the church. So, like, if you were a husband, or if you were a wife and you didn't listen to your husband, they would call you into leadership for counseling, which was basically like, you know, them verbally abusing you for however long. Kind of like
a tongue lashing.
Yeah, kind of like the Scientology, what did they call it? That compound that they have over in
Hollywood?
No. In the place where we used to go for like volleyball tournaments.
I want to say 29 Palms, but that's not it.
Close to that.
Bishop? No.
Yeah, that place. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. Hang on. Fuck. It's not Bishop. It's something out there.
No, Bishop's that way.
I know. It's down this way.
Yeah. In San Bernardino County.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have a place over there where they would just like skirt people away to, and they would be tortured. Well, this is kind of like, it was a lesser form of that, because they would like call them in for a couple of hours and just basically verbally abuse them and berate them for not doing what they're supposed to do. And there was one, they would counsel women who like weren't, you know, sexually intimate with their husbands. They would counsel them to be like, hey, you know, why don't you have a glass or two and then just, you know, let him do what he wants to do. And, like, one of the women, she was like, yeah, I call that rape.
Oh.
So, yeah, they were, you know, they were trying to basically encourage women, the women, to be submissive to the point of...
Hemet?
Yes, it's in Hemet. Hemet. Thank you.
It was killing me. I had to get it.
That's where the abuse compound in for the Scientologists is where it was. Ted Anger, of course, he would, you know, there was one woman who, you know, he gave that advice to, oh, why don't you have a couple of glasses of wine and just let your husband do what he wants to do or whatever. Well, she got pregnant for the third time.
Ew.
And of course, Ted Anger berated her for getting pregnant because apparently the husband didn't want to have a baby, but you wanted to bang your wife without protection. So yeah. And I'm pretty sure they were of the mindset that women shouldn't be on birth control, that kind of bullshit. So blame the woman for everything. Blame the kid for everything. Blame the man for nothing. He did nothing wrong. Gwen instituted a hierarchy where there were four men above her, and then her, and then men below her. But the actual hierarchy was Gwen was at the top, and then all the leaders were men. There were no other women leaders. Just her. So you can imagine how it looks for other women when you're telling me I can't get divorced and my husband, you know, my husband is my boss, or not my boss, but I have to do what my husband tells me, yeah, and all this other stuff. But Gwen is the
I would have left. You know. Like, I'm out of there.
Exactly. Like,
fuck this place.
Exactly. And that's what I don't, there, you know, the interviews were with people who had left.
Yeah, of course.
But it's like, why are you talking to this woman talking about, I think I want to leave. Just go. Just fucking go.
I'm out of this place.
Like, what are we talking
about?
Guess
what? I'm not coming back.
And then there was a man who had been married to his wife for I don't know how long. This man, he said he was 60. He's in his 60s now. And he said that his kid, when Gwen got divorced, he said that his sons called him and was like, Daddy, you better get your shoes on. Mommy's going to divorce you. And he's like, what are you talking about? And they're like, well, Gwen got a divorce. And, you know, mom's got to be like Gwen. So, yeah, she did. She's fucking divorcing. And they're going through a divorce right now because
Gwen got divorced.
It's okay now because Gwen did it. Because before, she, you know, she was married still to David. All kinds of bullshit, you know, was going on. The kids, there was a situation where her daughter, Elizabeth, they had a baby. Well, they have kids. They had like four kids. And I guess at some point they lost a baby.
Elizabeth and her husband.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And instead of, you know, asking the church to come around, you know how like...
Support.
Yeah, and like, you know, prayers to the family because they, you know, their baby,
yeah,
passed away and whatnot. They didn't even mention it at all. But when the people went to church, the members went to church, it was like, they said it was like walking into a funeral home. But they wouldn't allow her to express her grief for her baby that she lost. So they just went about business as normal, business as usual. But if you look at the pictures of this chick and the video of her, she looks like a skeleton person. She does not look good at all.
Elizabeth. That's so sad.
So they just, you know, the way it's a, like, honestly, if you look at it just like on from the outside and you know anything about, you know, how Scientology was run, it's kind of, there's so many similarities. The only difference is they don't believe that they're aliens.
Dude. So I was helping my child do her history homework and, it was regarding, religion. It was regarding Christianity, Muslim,
Islam.
Islamic. And there was something else, and all religions have, like, they're all the fucking same.
Yeah.
There's just different things, like, there's different prophets, uh-huh, or this, that, and the other, but they all believe in, like, a one true God, uh-huh, and, you know, yeah, people speak for them. They're all the same.
Yeah.
So, you're right.
All organized religions are,
yeah,
the same.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, there's, you know, those, the ones they call pagan religions,
mm-hmm,
and then there's the ones that are, you know, Eastern religions, which are more philosophies than actual gods. But yeah, all of these ones that are like, there's one God and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. They all, mm-hmm, they're all pretty much the same. And if you break it down, they're all the same God.
Yes.
But, don't tell them that.
I don't believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about?
Well, good things must come to an end, unfortunately. So in May 29, 2021.
Okay, because that was like, what?
On May 29th, 2021, Gwen and Joe and two other couples and their son-in-law got on a plane in Smirnoff, Tennessee, where Joe Lara was the pilot of the plane. The plane crashed into a lake in Tennessee, and they died.
What?
Gwen and Joe died.
I was not expecting this.
Elizabeth's husband died. But the way the church is set up,
it goes Elizabeth to
Elizabeth is now. No, it goes to Elizabeth. Elizabeth is now the new Gwen of the church.
Succession.
Michael has his demons. And so the way the church was set up was that Elizabeth, the church goes to Elizabeth now. Mm-hmm. She's now the leader of this church. Mm-hmm. Gwen and Joe, well, Gwen, Joe wasn't going to get anything anyway. Joe was just her man candy, her candy, you know, like
arm candy.
Really, yeah, her arm candy and whatever, but he died. So Michael, her son, and his wife are still living, and Elizabeth and her kids are still alive. Gwen and Joe have passed on. Oh, and David, her ex-husband, he's still alive.
I am very shocked by this.
two of the men in the leadership and their wives died. And yeah, Elizabeth's husband, his last name is Shannon. I can't remember what his first name is. He died. So yes, the cult of Gwen Shamblin is still alive and well, but Gwen Shamblin is no longer. So we'll see what happens to the church of, or the remnant fellowship church, because it's still standing and they're under new leadership.
Look at, I'm standing up. Wow. I was not expecting that.
It's crazy, right?
What a good story. Not a good story, but...
thing is that they were doing this documentary, you know, while she was alive, and then she dies.
Oh my God! They got everything on tape!
And it's on HBO. They wouldn't talk to it. Only former members were talking to the thing. They had all the footage and everything was, like, you know, stuff that they had put out. Mm-hmm. But...
yeah, shut the fuck up.
The Shamblin... kids and Gwen, they weren't participating actively in the documentary. And HBO, I won't say it was HBO, but the people making the documentary had, you know,
the production company,
you know, reached out to them numerous times and they declined. And then after her death, they put out a statement. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to look forward to that.
Yeah. So it's a TBD, you know, or to be continued.
This is our first to be continued.
Is it?
I kind of think so. Because it happened this year. You know, it's 2021.
They passed away this year. Crazy, right?
It's crazy. Okay, damn. All right. So, do you have a thumbs up for the week?
Oh, gosh. Halloween is on Sunday, so it's not this week.
Mm-hmm. When this drops, Halloween is this weekend.
Right. Thumbs up for the week. Let me think about it. You know, I went out today and I was like, oh, look, it's going to be such a nice day to do, you know, work in the yard. And then it started getting windy and I was like, fuck.
It's going to rain tomorrow.
Apparently. I don't have a thumbs up for the week. I'm just, I don't have one. Do you have a thumbs up for the week?
Take care of your mental health. It's important.
That's a thumbs up?
It's a thumbs up, man. Like, I was having a really hard week this past week, and I was just, like, at my wit's end with, like, you know, my children and just, like, you know, finances. And it's just a stressful thing, guys. And I saw this meme yesterday, and I shared it. And it was like a seed was like being planted in the darkness, and the seed was like, oh no, it's over, I'm dying. And
the
like
seed was being planted in the darkness.
So I'll bring it up.
So it says, or it's something to the effect, sometimes when you're in a dark place, you think you've been buried, but you've actually been planted. So it's like a seed, life is like sticking it in the dirt with struggles, and then it's like in its grave, and it's like everything is over. But no, it starts growing. It germinated. It's growing into something else.
Okay.
It's been planted. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is it's not always going to be dark. We have our dark moments, and I feel like there's so much death and despair that's happening in the world right now. Nothing's ever going to go back to what we were before COVID.
No.
And we just have to continue to move forward and keep fighting the good fight. And when you put, you know, positivity out there, it will come back to you, not as soon as you would like it to, but it will, and it's going to be okay. And just take care of your mental health, because it is very important.
It's a shit show out there, for real.
I really need to start doing yoga again, because I feel like Fat Thor.
Well, if you feel like Fat Thor, I must be Jabba the fucking Hutt, because
I feel like Fat Thor as of lately, and I was like, I really haven't been working out. I need to get that going on. I was doing like a little workout a couple of days a week at home, but I think that really affects my mood, and I need to get it back going on and eating right and shit. I just need to take care of myself. Like, I put on a new wig this week, and I was like, oh, hunty, there you are. You saw my wig.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, I feel pretty.
I feel pretty.
I feel pretty. I'm so pretty. Sometimes you need a little pretty. Have you watched?
I need to get a new wig.
Did you watch Night Teeth on Netflix?
No. What the hell?
Such a stupid name. Night Teeth.
Is it a horror movie? What is it?
It is. It's like a thriller. It's on Netflix right now for the spooky season. And what's that girl's name? I can't think of her name. Her name's Debbie Ryan. Is that her name? Old girl from Insatiable and...
Okay, Jessie.
Jessie. Hey, Jessie. That's her. So she is a vampire. Her and this chick, they're taking... It's actually a really good movie. So I would just say watch that. So, like, I know you set my thumbs up. I watched that last night. I was up to 2:00 in the morning because I could not sleep.
Okay.
My back was hurting. I was exhausted, but I could not go to sleep. And I watched that, and it was entertaining. It was a good movie to watch.
Okay.
So watch it. Oh, and that guy, Alfie something, is in it. He was from Game of Thrones. Reek.
Okay.
It's good. Jamal was watching it this morning. I was like, hey, I watched this last night. He was like, oh, yeah. So it was a good movie.
Theon Greyjoy?
Yeah, him. Reek.
Fucking dick.
But if you don't have a thumbs up.
Yeah,
it's okay. Sometimes you don't have a thumbs up.
I mean, I've been watching a lot of, you know, TV. I binge watched you yesterday.
I didn't finish the third season, so.
I watched all of it yesterday.
I think the season's really interesting, but Joe's always getting himself into trouble. It's always some shit, like when he knocked old girl's husband off the mountain.
That was funny.
I was like, did he kill this motherfucker? Damn!
A lot of people are dying this season.
I like that Prudence is in it.
Yeah.
From
Adventures of...
The Curious Adventures or the Strange Adventures of Sabrina?
Spooky Adventures,
Who knows? But yeah, a lot of people are dying. That's as far as I'm in the story, like when...
When they go on that weird-ass camping trip, that homoerotic camping trip, because that's what it was. I was like, why don't they just call it what it is, a fucking circle jerk?
I'm like an episode or two after that, like, you know, when the library sprinklers go off and the books get all wet and shit. I was just okay. Like, come on. Does Joe remind you of James, my friend?
No.
He gives me those vibes. Pimp Badgley definitely gives me James Morales vibes.
No.
Okay, it's fine.
but sorry, James, no.
You season three is good. I can't wait to see what happens. Oh, shit, Brandy's giving me eyes, y'all. So if y'all have watched it, let us know what you thought, because I'm going to finish it up because I've got a few more episodes to go.
There's going
to
be a season 4. That's what we do know.
Okay.
At the end, they were like, there is another season coming. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Of course there is.
Because, you know, it's Joe.
Joe is just, like, with his mommy issues, which he figured that out.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Constance, what's her name? The girl, the one.
The neighbor?
The one, the what do you call her? The HBIC in town, what's her name?
Yeah, the black girl.
Yeah, what's her name?
I don't know.
Ugh, okay, well.
Let's call her old girl.
Oh, wait, you haven't gotten that far. How many episodes are you in? Like 5?
I'm on the part where she asks Love to cater her party.
Okay, so at the party is interesting. That's all.
Okay, let's leave it at that. Yeah. Let's leave it at that. Hey, y'all, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. Are you subscribed yet? I'm talking to you. You're listening right now. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button. Come back. If you already are subscribed, thank you so much. We love you. We're bringing you new episodes every week. Have you left us a review? I'm going to try and get everything from you for free 99. Mm-hmm. If it's free, do it. Subscribe, leave a review, recommend us to a friend.
Do the free shit.
Do the free shit. We need the free shit, please. And come back. Thank you for being here. Connect with us on social, on Twitter at Book of Life Pod, on Instagram at Book of Life Podcast, Facebook, Book of Life Podcast. Visit our website, bookoflifepodcast.com. There's a theme, Book of Life Podcast, okay? I am Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleek.
And this was
Book of Lies.
The podcast.
It's bold, bitches.